calling Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. As I sat this morning and worshiping with you, my mind went to this question: why do we have so many Christmas things? Why do we have the fellowships? Why do we have these parties? Why do we have the children's Christmas program? Why do we have the Vespers? Why do we do these things? And of course, there are many answers, but yet one kept coming to my mind, and it was simply this: that during this time of year, and with the importance of what we celebrate and what we worship, you know, it's very easy for us to allow good things to take the place of the best thing. And we need the constant reminders. We need the Word of God. We need the worship. We need the fellowship. We need to be constantly reminded of this great gift that God has given His Son, Jesus Christ. So we need it. We need the Word of God this morning, don't we?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads right now and let's ask God's help as we look at His truth today. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here. Our hearts are blessed. And bless God because we've joined together to worship. Bless because we've joined together to sing, to read, to pray, to consider. Blessed God beyond measure because we've come into your presence for the purpose of worshiping you. And Father, we desperately need to worship you. You've made us to do so. And Father, I pray as we continue to worship this morning and we look at this truth that is before us, that you, by your Spirit, in the hearts of your people, will bring us to a place of receiving, a place of obedience, a place of seeing you through your word today. And God, may we be changed because of it. Yes. And yes, Father, changed for our good and changed for our benefit, but mostly to be changed because you are glorious and great and good, and you deserve all that takes place. And as we become more and more like our Savior, God, we praise you. That's why we were made. Thank you. Work in our hearts now. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, every year Christmas brings before you and me and the world some very clear questions. And it's very helpful if we ask the questions and then answer the questions. For example, why did Jesus come? Who is Jesus? Why is he important? What difference does Jesus make in my life because of his coming? Does his coming make a difference in my family? Does it make a difference in my work, in my thinking, in my relationships, in my worship? Does Jesus make a difference in my life? And so these are important questions, and they need answers. And we've committed 4 Sundays in the month of December to answer these questions as we look at the coming of Jesus Christ. Our study this morning takes us to John chapter 18, which appears to be a peculiar passage as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ. In the last hours of his life before he was crucified, Jesus actually answered some of these questions. This is a passage that we looked at many years ago, and it's such an important passage, and it's such a passage with clarity on why he came. We would look at it again this morning. So look carefully at John chapter 18, and let's focus on verse 37. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, he said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so right before us in this passage, of all places, Jesus himself gives us a reason for his coming. Here's why he came. Here's a reason that will make a huge difference in our lives. Here's a reason for Christmas. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. What I'd like to do this morning simply is to look at this statement and understand why he came. There are 3 important connections to us in this statement that Jesus makes. Let's look at this statement. Let's look at these words by Jesus. Notice, first of all, Jesus says there is truth. There is truth. He says, "And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Do you see that? That I should bear witness to the truth. And therefore, I can stand before you this morning and I can say to you, there is truth. There is the truth. There is truth from outside this world that gives meaning to this world. And the world doesn't make this truth. You and I don't make this truth. We don't shape this truth. We don't change this truth. It is the truth. It is the truth for all of us. It's unchanging. It's absolute. It is not a truth. It is the truth. You know, there was a time or a generation when a pastor of a church would not need to stress the implication of Jesus' words here. There was a time when many people recognized and accepted that there is truth. There is truth that is outside of my own mind. There is truth that I don't create, but I discover. There is truth that I don't control, but submit to. Folks, there was a time when we did not have to proclaim that there is absolute truth that everyone should believe, but not today. Not today. Because we live in a time that the statements that I've made already this morning are to many people very stunning and controversial and rejected. You see, if we try to proclaim truth today, the truth that there is absolute truth, truth that everyone should follow and everyone should believe, then we would be clearly labeled as misguided or wrong or even immoral. You see, people would say that we are misguided because there is no God who gives absolute truth. And even if there is a God, it's a God that we as people or man has created in his own mind, and therefore there is no absolute truth from a God that we created. That's what people would say. People would say that we are wrong because there are just no absolutes. Since man is the center and the focus of life and existence, and man is constantly changing and evolving, it's just plain wrong to speak of absolutes. And the only absolute there is in the thinking of many people is that there are no absolutes. And people would also say that we are immoral because absolute truth leads to intolerance and prejudice and injustice against others and what they think. And so if you believe that there is absolute truth and it's binding on others, then you are arrogant and you are intolerant and you are immoral. And folks, that's what people say. And so the position of a great number of people in our society, in our culture, is that truth is relative. In other words, truth is what you make it. Truth is what you believe it to be. Truth is what you want it to be. And so there is no absolute truth. And because there is no absolute truth and truth is relative, then there should be great tolerance. So we begin to think through this idea of truth. Maybe I should say this truth of truth. And do you see the impact of this position? Do you see the consequences of such a position on our world and our society today? Since there is no absolute truth, then every individual determines for himself what truth is. And there's no truth but self. There's no authority but self. And we look around at our culture and we look around at our society, and the consequences are clearly seen. Since there is no absolute truth and every individual determines what truth is for himself, then these are some of the things that we hear. People will say, "Don't force your view of God on me." And the result is that God is taken out of the public forum, and you can speak about God privately, but don't speak about God around people or in the public. People will say, "Don't force your view of the origin of life or man or the universe on me." And the result, folks, is that evolution is accepted and it's taught, and there is no creator, and therefore there's no accountability to a creator, and there's no judgment when the creatures rebel against the creator. And people would say, "Don't force your view of babies and abortion and the beginning of life on me," because the result of that is that it is now legal to kill the unborn and people can do whatever they want to with their bodies. And they say, "It's my body, not yours." And the life and the death and the needs and the concerns of children become secondary. And it's also said, "Don't force your view of marriage on me." And the result is that same-sex marriage is now legal and living together outside of marriage is common, and marriage between man and woman for life seems so distant and so ancient in our culture and society. And of course, this position on truth is not biblical. There is absolute truth. There is. And to the world of the first century and the world of the 21st century, Jesus says here, and of all places and of all times that he would say it, after going through a night of torture and a night of an unjust trial and time standing before authorities and leaders, of all the times he would stand before this Roman leader and he would say this, "For this I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." And so that then is the first connection to us in Jesus' words in this verse. There is truth. There is truth that comes from God outside the world and gives the world its meaning. And there is truth that is absolute and it's unchanging. And there is truth that everyone should submit to and believe. There is truth. Notice second that Jesus bears witness to the truth. "And for this cause I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth." In other words, Jesus is the key witness to the truth. Now let's take a few moments and let's see that with other statements from the Word of God. Let's listen to what the Bible says about Jesus and truth. So hold your place in John chapter 18 and go to John chapter 1, John chapter 1 verse 14. John chapter 1 verse 14, very familiar. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 14. John here speaking about Jesus, and he writes and he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and" what? "Truth." Full of grace and truth. Look at verse 17. John chapter 1 verse 17. John continues and he says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and" what? "Truth." Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and look at verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8 verses 31 and 32. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" And then turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Very familiar verse. Look at John chapter 14 verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. "And Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me.'" And so Jesus not only spoke the truth, and Jesus not only bore witness to the truth, but by the words of Jesus Himself, Jesus is the truth. And so the question then, and it's a legitimate question, we should ask this. If we think about truth, we should ask this: how then can I hear the truth? How can I hear the testimony of Jesus? How can we hear the truth of Jesus? Because Jesus is gone now. Jesus physically left this earth 2,000 years ago, but if He is truth and He bears witness of the truth, then how can we hear Jesus now? See, we should ask this. And the answer is this, that we have to go back to those years when He was here. Now, it doesn't mean that we get in some time of time machine and we travel back 2,000 years. But we have to go back when He was here. And we have to see and hear Jesus during the time of His incarnation when He walked and talked and lived and died among men. And we have to hear what He said and did. And we have to hear what His closest followers said He said and did. We have to hear and see what those first century followers of Jesus Christ wrote about Him and His teaching. And of course the question is, how do we do that? Well, we pick up this book called the Bible. This book. And we read the first four books of the New Testament. And we read the history of the first followers of Jesus called the Book of Acts. And then we read the teaching of those men who followed Jesus and who heard Jesus and who were taught by Jesus. And we find a quiet place and we take some time and we listen to the testimony of Jesus' words and the words of those who followed Jesus. And if you're serious, if you're really serious about listening to Jesus and hearing Jesus, if you're serious about this, then you will ask God to help you see the truth and understand it. And then you will see what Jesus does as you read, and you'll listen to what Jesus says as you read, and you'll think about His words, and you'll think about His actions, and then you'll make a decision whether this man Jesus is credible and reliable and trustworthy based upon His words and based upon His actions. And frankly, folks, we do this all the time with people. We listen to the words of people and we look at the actions of people and we make a decision on whether we can trust that person or believe what that person says. And so in John chapter 18 verse 37, Jesus said, "I was born and I came for this reason, to bear witness to the truth." And folks, even when He made that statement to Pontius Pilate, when He said, I was born for this reason, to bear witness of the truth, either He's telling the truth or He's lying. And if He's telling the truth, then that means that there is absolute truth, and there is absolute truth that is outside this world, that gives meaning to this world. And every one of us, and I emphasize, every one of us will make a decision either to hear and obey His truth or reject and disobey His truth. And so Jesus came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And the witness of His work and His words and His teachings are preserved in the Gospels and they're explained in the epistles, and we have this Word. And folks, receive this Word. Receive it and you will know the truth that Jesus came to bring. Then notice a third statement that connects with us this morning in the words of Jesus. John chapter 18 verse 37. We will respond to Jesus. We will respond to Him. Notice He says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice. And so two things stand out in this statement. First of all, we look at that statement And we see that there are two groups of people in this statement. One is spoken of and the other is implied. Notice there are those who are of the truth. This is Jesus' way of saying there are people of God. There are people of Jesus. There are people who believe and live by the truth of God and the truth of Jesus. Everyone who is of the truth, of God, of Jesus. And of course it makes sense that if there are those who are of the truth, then there are those who are not of the truth. In other words, they are not of God and not of Jesus and not of the truth, and they don't believe nor live by the truth of God or the truth of Jesus. And so the obvious question then before us this morning is this. The question we should ask ourselves is this. Of what group or which group do I belong? Am I of this group of people who is of the truth and of God and of Jesus, or am I of this group of people who is not of the truth or not of God or not of Jesus? So two groups spoken of and implied in these words by Jesus. So we will respond to Jesus. It's an amazing thing. What a great privilege it is to stand before you. I've not counted how many times I've stood before you. But I think this Sunday probably marks the 15th year that I have stood before you as your pastor. And I didn't really do the math, but that means just on Sunday mornings, even if I'm gone a couple Sundays, that's over 700 times that I have stood before you and proclaimed the Word of God on Sunday morning alone. So multiply that by two or three times. Over 2,000 times or more, I've stood before you. Now it's to the point I'm sitting before you sometimes on Wednesday nights. But think about it. Every time that that happens, and it has nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with the truth. And every time that that takes place, and that will take place even today, you will respond to Jesus. And you will respond to the truth. And we'll either believe Him and live for Him, or we'll not believe Him and not live for Him. The second thing that stands out in these words, in this statement, is that we can know which group we belong to. We can actually know this. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so you are of the truth if you hear and listen and obey and follow the voice of Jesus given in His Word. And so then that moves us to ask these questions. And we should ask them to ourselves. Do I want the truth? Do I desire the truth? Do I read my Bible? Do I study my Bible? Do I memorize my Bible? Do I bring the Bible, the Word of God, into my mind, into my life? Do I read it? Do I study it? Do I look at it? Do I hear it with a desire to hear Jesus? And a desire to listen to Jesus and respond to Jesus. Now I tell you folks, this is a challenge. Because every day, and I'm thinking of morning time with God in my own life, that oftentimes I will spend that time and I will read it and I'll think about it and I'll pray about it, and then I'm challenged because I ask myself, what did I just read? What did God just say to me? And you know what I have to do? I have to do it again. I have to go back. And you know why I have to go back? Because I wasn't listening. My mind was somewhere else. I was thinking, I have to get to church. I have to study something else. Are you listening to Him? Do you listen and obey? So what group do you belong to? And oh, folks, don't be like Pilate or much of the world around us, because in John chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate's response to Jesus was this: well, what is truth? What is it? In other words, I don't know the truth, and I don't think you can know what the truth is. What is truth? And yet Pilate could not hide from the words of Jesus. And folks, this morning, we can't hide from the words of Jesus. Pilate may have thought that he would not make a choice about Jesus, but I submit to you very clearly that Pilate made his choice about Jesus. He made the choice. He did not believe. He did not receive. And we can do the same thing. You see, we can hear the words of Jesus, and we can hear the truth. And we can hear it with ears that are even open to hear. And we can look at our lives, and then a struggle begins to take place in our hearts, and we can respond to Jesus, and we can say, not now. Not now, or I'm not sure, or I'm not ready, or I don't feel like it, or I want to make sure it's right. Oh, brothers and sisters, people today, meeting here, Faith Baptist Church, there is too much at stake when we consider the truth of Jesus. And whenever we consider the truth of Jesus, it is always a matter of life and death. Always. And so people will respond to Jesus. And the good news is that you will respond today. Now, the good news of that is that God's giving you an opportunity to respond. God's giving you, by His grace, an opportunity to respond to Jesus today. And the truth is, some will believe today the truth in the words of Jesus. And I look at this group today, and some will not believe. Some will walk away without Jesus. But both, all, will respond to Jesus and His truth. So Jesus did not come to keep secret the truth of God. He was born and He came to bear witness to the truth, the absolute, unchanging truth of God. And I ask you this morning, I implore you this morning, consider, listen, hear the words of Jesus, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whatever has enslaved you, and whatever has its chains on you, whatever you're in bondage to today, the truth will set you free. And that truth is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we desperately need reminders. And the words of Jesus today are clear reminders that there is truth. He is truth. Father, He was manifested. He came. He was born to manifest the truth, to reveal the truth, to make it known. And Father, we will respond to You, to Jesus, and to Your truth this day. Father, may it be a response that will glorify you. May it be a response that will show that you truly are our treasure. May it be a response, Father, that shows your greatness and your grace. And God, we would glorify you now just in the opportunity that you give. Thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.